flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, where we are joined by Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, as we are every Friday here on the show. Mike, good morning. Thank you for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Guys, how are you today?
We are good. And, Mike, we found out that Omar Kelly is going to be heading to Madrid for the Dolphins. Will play in the first game in Madrid as the NFL, Mike. Is there going to be a country that they don't touch pretty soon here?
We were talking about this earlier on PFT Live. I think they'll eventually play on the moon. I think the moon is in play if they can, like, build a rocket that doesn't explode as soon as they put it off the launch pad. Let's go play on the moon. I mean, they're going to go everywhere. They're trying to globalize the sport, and it's a 100-year plan. There was a time when I was a kid where baseball was the dominant sport in the United States. Football eventually caught it and surpassed it. They'd love to do the same thing to soccer. It's going to take a lot longer, and it might never happen, but they're in the game internationally. They want to take the inventory that they provide domestically, take it around the world, and make even more money. Billion-dollar business becomes trillion-dollar business if they can get the rest of the world as interested in football as we are here.
Let me shoot you this idea, Mike, and I'm filled with ideas. Now, are they smart? I don't know. That's debatable. But what if every NFL team had to take their ninth home game and send it somewhere internationally? You think that would work?
Oh, I think that would absolutely work. And the current schedule lines up perfectly for, and this is competitive balance, 8 true home games, 8 true road games.
And then one international
site game.
Absolutely.
Right? It's perfect. It's perfect. Here's the problem. They won 18 games. So they better do this.
That's too international then. That's too international.
Right, but I think what will happen is it'll be one, and then you're going to have imbalance between home and away. And, of course, they only care about competitive integrity when it supports the things they want to do.
As long as it doesn't interfere with their dollar, they'll care about
integrity. Right. Then, well, it's really not an issue. You know, that's 9 home games versus 8, that's really, you know, that's a statistical aberration or whatever. But, yeah, once they go to 18, that goes away. But I remember when they first talked about 17 as a compromise to 18, I said, whoa, this is perfect. You end up with a block of 16 games that can be played neutral site. And if you're not ready to take 16 out of the country, play one at Notre Dame. Play one at Penn State. Get a couple of geographic rivals. Play at Michigan. Like, let's have fun with these games. Take away the traditional home game. Have every team play a neutral site game. You're absolutely right. And I think they will get there. The problem is, if they get there, then the next year we're going to have 18 games and we're going to be back to imbalanced home and away schedules.
But you know they don't care, Mike. Another thing that they don't care about is the Rooney Rule. And we see examples of this every single year. And while I love the Rooney Rule in theory, and I actually love the changes that they've made to the Rooney Rule, benefiting teams that elevate African-Americans, and then if they get taken to another job, you get draft picks for it. Love that change. I think it probably needs to be expanded to offensive and defensive coordinators. But Mike Vrabel's situation is, in my mind, a clear example a team and an organization knew exactly who they wanted to hire and just went through the motions to do it. And unfortunately fired an African-American coach after one season.
And look, perception and reality often are quite the same thing. They shifted into overdrive the moment the regular season ended. By halftime of the late afternoon games on week 18, the Patriots had fired Gerard Mayo. There was an urgency, I believe, to get Mike Vrabel before someone else could. He just interviewed with the Jets for crying out loud. Tom Brady and the Raiders are floating around out there. Let's get this done. Let's check the boxes. Let's sit down with Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton on Tuesday, and then the path is cleared to hire Mike Vrabel whenever we want. And my understanding is they were strongly encouraged to interview someone else who is viewed as, frankly, you know, a better candidate, a more realistic candidate to be a head coach.
Okay.
That resulted in the request for permission to interview Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator, who, to his credit, said, no,
yes.
I'm not doing this. Now, for Hamilton and Leftwich, here's the incidental benefit. And this is where the rule can have, you know, even when it's violated in spirit, it reminded everyone of Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton at a time when people are going to be hiring staffs. Leftwich could end up back in the league. I don't know how the hell he fell out. But it's like, hey, oh, Byron Leftwich, yeah. Hey, he was offensive coordinator of the Bucs. They won a Super Bowl. So it benefited both of them because their names were injected into the news cycle for a day. But you're right. Look, that's what the rule requires. They technically complied with the rule, but anybody who gets it knows they did what they had to do to get into position where they could hire Mike Vrabel.
Now, let me ask you this question selfishly. Brian Flores, he's out there. He's interviewing for jobs. I believe he just interviewed with the Jets. And I love and support his lawsuit, even though I don't like the man. I love and support his lawsuit because I do think that African-Americans are given jobs and set up to fail a lot of times. A lot of times they're in a tank situation. A lot of times teams don't even have the patience with them, like Gerard Mayo. I mean, one year and done, you know, with a rebuilding roster, with a team that's got $130 million in cap space, you weren't even trying. Now, we don't know where the lawsuit is at this present moment. You might, because you pay attention to the legalese of
the... I know where it is. It's still stuck at square one, 3 years later.
NFL's very good. They got a lot of good lawyers, Mike. You do know that. Do you think that lawsuit will ever get off the ground?
Here's where the lawsuit stands. The NFL, as a matter of habit, first step, let's not be in open court. Let's not be in a litigation process where our secrets are potentially going to be disclosed to the public. Let's not have a jury of average people come in and assess whether or not we did right or wrong. And we saw what happened this past summer when a jury got a crack at the NFL. It was a massive multi-billion-dollar antitrust verdict in the Sunday Ticket lawsuit. They engineer all these contracts, especially coaching contracts, to force the plaintiff into arbitration, and they're still fighting over what goes to arbitration, what doesn't go to arbitration between the claims filed by Brian Flores, Ray Horton, and Steve Wilks. And Flores has claims against the league, the Giants, the Broncos, the Texans, the Dolphins. And you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that he's getting interviews this year, because last year he deserved interviews and he didn't get any. I don't know that he's going to get a job this year. Somebody at the end of the day is going to have to decide, is it worth the blowback that I'm going to take when it's bourbon and cigars time on the lawn at wherever the league meeting is going to be this year for hiring a guy who's suing my business partners? And it's not supposed to be a big deal. It's not supposed to be an impediment to employment, but that's how the world works, especially in a closed shop like the NFL with only 32 companies under one big umbrella. I wonder, and look, the Tua Tagovailoa comments about Flores, there's a YouTube clip out there I've seen
with Ryan
Fitzpatrick on Flores. And I've heard some stuff about, you know, like, you know, that Belichick mindset. You take it to Minnesota, the land of you betcha in Minnesota night. I don't know that that's flown up there either, even though the defense has been good. So when they do their due diligence and their deep dive on Brian Flores, the question is this. Is it worth the blowback we're going to take for hiring somebody who has sued our business partners, even though it's wrong to consider that? And I think he might have to wait another year when it's all said and done, because I don't think, you know, if they were the 85 Bears, if they had made it to the Super Bowl, something like that, if they had a better game plan the last two games against the Lions and the Rams, that maybe I think he's going to have to wait another year. And the lawsuit has slowed him down. Obviously, it slowed him down. I'm just encouraged that it hasn't killed him. I thought when he filed it, he was just done.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk here with us. Mike, keeping it on the subject of coaches, we talked a little bit about Bill Belichick this week, and I know he's assembling his crew of NFL people over there in North Carolina, and it seems like every time the one of these pro jobs comes, you know, there's rumors that he could be tied to it. He says, nope, I'm here to stay at North Carolina. You think this thing actually works out for him, number one, and number two, doesn't he take the first NFL job that, like, offers him?
I firmly believe he wants back into the NFL. And I've been doing a lot of work on this, talking to a lot of people. And the consistent theme and message is this. He took the bird in the hand because no one was willing to do what he wanted them to do. You know, we talked about the Rooney Rule. Belichick basically wanted his team to violate the Rooney Rule and give him a wink, nod assurance that once we go through the charade of doing a real search, we're going to swing back around and hire you. And without anyone saying, hey, don't worry, don't take a job at North Carolina or South Carolina or any Carolina, we're going to hire you. No one would do that, so he took what he had available to him. And now that the season's ended and people are looking for coaches, I think he wants to be in play. Mm-hmm. I think that these reports about teams reaching out to him, that benefits him. That maybe gets his name on the radar screen, and somebody may give him a call. And I don't rule it out. I just don't know who would want him, because it's become clear that if you hire Bill Belichick, you got to be ready to give him the keys. Even if you have a general manager who on paper has more power than he does, when they're sitting in the draft room and they're coming up with, you know, hey, we're going to take it a fifth round, and the GM who's 30 years younger than Belichick wants to, you know, receiver from Colorado State, and Belichick rolls his eyes or makes some inaudible sound, and the GM's like, well, I better not draft him or he's going to be buried on the depth chart. That's the problem. You got to give him full control, and I don't know who's willing to do it. So the buyout is the key. It's only $10 million to get him until June 1. After June 1, it's $1 million. He's in play, and I don't care what he says, and he's not saying much lately. Mike Lombardi, his mouthpiece slash consigliere, is saying anywhere and everywhere. I don't believe any of that crap. The buyout is what speaks to me.
And the contract hasn't been signed.
He hasn't signed his contract. I mean, he can, in theory, walk away.
Bad look, but it could technically be done. Why don't you think the Raiders are giving him a look-see? Why not Tom say, hey, former boss, how about you come work for me?
Well, here's what I've heard happen there. And we've mentioned, you know, it's funny, when you talk extemporaneously on radio or podcast or wherever, sometimes you're a little looser journalistically than you'd be in what you write. I've written that Brady and Belichick aren't at a point in their relationship where Brady would ever hire him. I believe, based upon everyone I've talked to, that the report from NFL Media last week that Brady had spoken to Belichick and that the Raiders and multiple other teams were talking to Belichick about whether or not he'd come back, I believe that was put out there as a favor to Belichick, and that it's not happening with the Raiders, and there's no real indication he's talking to anybody else, although he could be talking to people off the grid. He can be having the conversations he was hoping to have in November, where somebody says, hey, we're just going to go through this process, and we'll interview you at the very end, and then we'll hire you. So there's still a chance. And the one team I'm watching is the Buccaneers, because they've done some weird stuff over the years with coaches. John Gruden fired one day, Raheem Morris elevated the next day. Then Morris is fired. Who are they going to hire? Oh, well, Greg Schiano. What the? Greg Schiano? And then Lovie Smith is the coach, and they push him out for Dirk Cutter because they thought Dirk Cutter was going to get a job somewhere else. They elevated him. And then Bruce Arians gets retired. He didn't retire. Retired by the Bucs in late March for Todd Bowles. It would not shock me, given that they lost in the wild card round, that Bowles, quote-unquote, retires, and boom, Belichick's the next coach. That is pure speculation, and it's based primarily on the history of the Buccaneers, where they just do weird, confusing things with their coaches.
Yeah, I know Todd. Todd ain't retiring.
Bruce Arians wasn't retiring either until, I believe, it came down to we get Tom back or we don't get Tom back. And if we get Tom back, Bruce has to go. I believe that happened. I'm not reporting that happened, But I've long believed that that's how Arians left, because Tom came back, and 3 weeks later, Arians was out. Somebody told me when Tom came back, watch and see. Next step, Arians is going to be gone.
All right, Mike, we got some big games coming up this weekend. Just a real quick one to get your take on all these here. Saturday, 4:30, Chiefs hosting the Texans.
Texans can win this. It was 17-16 on that play that Tank Dell caught the touchdown pass and horribly injured his knee, and it kind of took the air out of the balloon for the Texans. They can keep this close, and Joe Mixon, to me, is the X factor in this game. The running back for the Texans has been on a Bengals team that won at Arrowhead and gave them everything they could handle the next year, twice in the AFC.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Championship. Mixon made them believe last week. And they shut up Rex Ryan in a big way, and Mixon was at the forefront of that. He can make the offense believe that they can score enough points to beat the Chiefs. That one to me is fascinating because of the presence of Mixon.
You don't think the weather plays a role in that game at all?
Oh, weather's going to play a role in all these games. It's January football, but it's not going to be like it was when the Dolphins played there last year.
All right, we got the Lions and the Commanders, 8:00. Saturday night, do the Lions and the Commanders run here?
The key for the Commanders is going to be keep it close. The number that keeps popping up in my head is 17 plays, 92 yards. They had a drive of that length and duration against the Buccaneers. You know, for as spectacularly talented as Jaden Daniels is, he operates very patiently within the confines of the offense. It's almost like an old-school West Coast offense, 5 yards here, 6 yards here, 4 yards there. And he doesn't push it. He's patient. He doesn't get flustered. If they can keep it close, they can steal it. I think the mission for the Lions will be knock them out as early as possible and don't give them a chance to take it from us late, because if you let them hang around, they just might do it.
All right, moving to Sunday, 3:00, Eagles and Rams.
Eagles and Rams, the weather here is definitely going to be a factor, and the Rams players are coming to grips with the fact it's going to be cold, it's going to be snowy. They had 255 yards that they gave up to Saquon Barkley when they played in Week 12. You had Jared Verse, the likely defensive rookie of the year, stirring up the Eagles fans, not that they needed any extra agitation. It's going to be a long day for the Rams. It's been a long couple of weeks. I was saying last week, you know, this is lining up perfectly for them to beat the Vikings, but if they do, they got 6 days later. They got to play in Philadelphia, going back to L.A. with everything that's still going on. There's just only so much the human body can deal with by way of stress and physicality and pressure. And this is going to be a tough, tough assignment for the Rams. It could get ugly, and the Eagles could end up winning this thing going away.
All right, then the main course, Mike, 6:30 on Sunday. I got to ask you first, what kind of numbers is this game going to do here, Bills and Ravens? Are we going to shatter, like, playoff records here with this game in prime time on Sunday?
The division round averaged $40 million last year for the four games. This year, the wild card round was down 9.3% to $28.3 million per game. This game should do 45. Wow. I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't. And it's so weird to see a game not involving Patrick Mahomes in the AFC playoffs be the marquee game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's the other factor that really will ratchet up the intensity of this game. If the Texans pull it off, we'll know, and they'll know. It will feel like the de facto AFC championship if the Chiefs get knocked out on Saturday. Now, the winner's still going to have to deal with the Texans, but that mindset going into the game is far different from, we're both competing for the chance to go die at Arrowhead Stadium.
Well said there, Mike. I got to tell you, I am really torn on this one. I know the weather's not going to bother either one of these teams, but do you have a leaning on this one? Like either way here, it's very, very tough to pick this game.
I think that the presence of Derrick Henry, the combination of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, and the improvement of the defense since Dean Pease returned as a consultant to help Zach Gore. Zach Gore's young enough that he should still be playing. If he didn't have a neck problem, he probably would still be playing. He's a first-year defensive coordinator. The defense has gotten better. Rodney Harris and I were talking about this on PFT Live earlier. It's astounding to think that the way to beat the Ravens is to put the game in the hands of the guy who is likely going to be the two-time MVP, three times overall, and force him to beat you. But that's the formula. You have to take away Derrick Henry and say to Lamar Jackson, come out here on the coldest day where you've ever played football, where the weather is going to be a factor, where you have admitted that you are and have been in the past antsy and nervous in that one and done win or go home playoff setting. We're going to force you to beat us. The best player in football, we're going to force you to beat us in this moment, but that may be the only chance the Bills have to win.
Mike, thank you so much for the time. Look forward to talking to you again next week when we have a couple of championship games to discuss. Thank you for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.